Margaret.
Good morning, everyone, and we're very pleased to be here with you in Poland. It's our very first visit, but we do hope it won't be our last visit. But next time, we would like to come in spring or summer. We live in a very hot part of the world, tropical North Queensland, and it was a little shock to the system to experience minus 12 degrees. I could only imagine that until now. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful experience, and I'll be able to tell my family about how cold you can actually feel, and it's not just with air conditioning. So, I hope that by the end of this little presentation, I can give you a bit of information about our story in Townsville and why we chose to go down a path that meant we had to convince our teachers to do something new, to add to their already very busy workloads, and why we wanted to do that. I also want to give you a little bit of context about who we are as Australians. Can I just have a raising of hands? How many people have visited Australia or lived in Australia? One? Oh, a few. You may have friends, Polish friends, who've moved to Australia or who live there. Yes, so you may have some idea about Australia, but, you know, we don't see ourselves as special, but we're certainly different. And I also want to be able to talk to you as teachers and educators about why we thought it was essential, why it was an obligation on us as Catholic educators to go down this pathway of bringing our students to the contemplative understanding of their faith tradition and to give them this wonderful teaching of Christian meditation. But to begin with, we'd like to know a little bit about you. So first of all, how many people are teachers, classroom teachers? Could you raise your hand? Classroom teachers? Okay. How many people are catechists? Okay. And are there people who are parish people? Or, thank you. We've got some priests, yes. Some religious sisters, yes. Are there other people who are here just out of interest or who don't work in schools? So, thank you. Are you parents or are you here? Great. Right. So, another question. How many people who work in schools are teaching meditation or who have some experience of meditation with students? Anyone?
With students.
Great. Excellent. So you will already have some of your own story. So let's continue then, and I want to tell you a little bit about where we live in the world. And this is Townsville. It's the front part of Townsville. It's a very beautiful part of Townsville. My house is just up here. Ernie's house is just around behind this rock. It's not a cave. And Townsville is our biggest city in the Diocese of Townsville, so there's 200,000 people living in the city. Next one, please. So you can see where we are. This is Queensland, and here we are right up in the northern part, so that's why it's very hot and very tropical. Next one, please. So in our diocese, this is our diocese here, the light colour. And so these dots are where our schools are. Now, here's Townsville, here's our most western school, Mount Isa. That is 1,000 kilometres. So it's a very big distance. And we have many schools with many different sizes. So this little school here in Winton has 55 children in it. It's very remote, it's hard to get there. Only one plane flies in once a week. So you have to drive, it takes 6 hours to drive there. And it's a tiny little town, a little western outback town, but it's a beautiful little school, and the children meditate there, as they do in all of our other schools. We have special schools that are really for Aboriginal children, because this little island here called Palm Island just Gough Townsville, it's an Aboriginal community. So early Aboriginal people live there, and we have an Aboriginal school, St. Michael's, and you can see some of our students around the room, and the little girl with the red t-shirt, she's a Palm Island St. Michael's student. So we have about 13,000 students altogether in our diocese, and about 1,300 teachers. So you can read what that says, because I can't. So it says what I've just said, so we'll move on. So these are just some of our magnificent students, just like your magnificent students from our schools. And if we pop in, you see. Students from our different schools, some of them meditating. These are the Palm Island students. It's a beautiful island. So we began a pilot program with 13 teachers to introduce Christian meditation in different schools with each of the grades from preschool to year 12. That was our beginning of the journey. And then 7 years ago, we pushed the go button so that every school in the diocese introduced Christian meditation. Since that time, we believe we've seen wonderful things occur. We've seen teachers who have found, I think, a brand new relationship, not just with their own faith development, but with their students. And students, of course, themselves have just grown to love meditation to the extent that when they shift from 1 year to the next, often students will say to their new teacher, when will we be meditating, if they haven't already begun it early in the year. So they take the initiative themselves. It is a program that has great support from parents, and we are known across Australia for our commitment to having every child in our Catholic schools learn about the story of Christian meditation and become meditators themselves in the tradition we have received from Father John Main through Father Lawrence, who was invited to our diocese by our Bishop Michael in 2001 to run, a program of introducing adults to Christian meditation. Sadly for us, Bishop Michael has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and so we're keeping him very closely in our hearts. And of course, one of the things that we did at the beginning of the school year was to put out a prayer service for healing for Bishop Michael, which included meditation, as our students and teachers would expect. And we would ask you to pray for Bishop Michael, because he has a very difficult journey ahead of him. So it's been a wonderful journey, but for us in Australia, we really have a significant tradition through our traditional Aboriginal people of deep spiritual quietness and stillness, and it's known as Ngadiri. But before we move to that, I wanted to ask Bernie just to share some words that Pope John Paul II spoke to the Aboriginal people of Australia when he visited, and he spoke to them very, passionately about their spiritual life.
Yes, shortly you'll hear Miriam Rose Ungermar, who's a good friend of Cathy and mine, a great Indigenous spiritual leader, a headmaster of a school, and a lovely Catholic lady. Many years ago, when she first found out about meditation, and I talked to her about Father Lawrence, and she said, "Tell Father Lawrence that us black fellas in Australia have been doing this for 40,000 years. Something like it anyway. John Paul II visited Australia and went to Alice Springs, and he spoke to the Indigenous people about their gifts. And some of what he says, I think he must have had the Polish people in his heart as well. Some of the words, I think, apply to the Indigenous Australians, but also to Polish people. But he said, Indigenous Australians and Australia originally was known as the Great Southern Land of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of God hovered over this land well before Christianity came into being. For thousands of years, this culture of yours was free to grow without interference by people from other places. You lived your lives in spiritual closeness to the land, with its animals, birds, fishes, water holes, rivers, hills and mountains. You did not spoil the land, use it up, exhaust it, and then walk away from it. You realized that your land was related to the source of life. Some of the stories from your Dreamtime legends spoke powerfully of the great mysteries of human life, its frailty, its need for help, its closeness to the spiritual powers and the value of the human person. John Paul, I think, had a deep feeling for Indigenous Australians, but as I said, I think he had the Polish people in his heart. And then he went on and said, and I think this spoke about his own experience, "You have learned how to survive, whether on your own lands or scattered far and wide. If you stay closely united, you are like a tree standing in the middle of a bushfire. Fire sweeping through the timber, the leaves are scorched, and the tough bark is scarred and burned. But inside the tree, the sap is flowing, and under the ground, the roots are still strong. Like the tree, you have endured, and flames will be reborn." Let's listen to Miriam Rose.
Very sadly, we aren't able to do a little video clip of Miriam Rose. We won't tend to fade. But really, she's sharing that wonderful spiritual word, Dadiri, and what that means. And as you're reading up there in Polish, that capacity to enter into that deep quietness, the deep still awareness that is bringing people in touch, especially the Aboriginal people, in touch with the creative spirit. And it is about survival. And you heard Father Lawrence this morning speak to you, I think, very passionately about why, as teachers, you should consider this wonderful gift that you can give to young Polish children and young Polish adolescents, which is about their survival as they go forward into a world that is very chaotic in some cases, very frightening in some cases. But we do want them to have a spiritual depth. And in Australia, that's one of the compelling things that we've shared with our teachers, that we want our students to have this deep contemplative knowledge and practice through meditation. That does help them survive in a chaotic world. So our mission as Catholic school educators is to help our students understand what it means to be fully alive in body, mind and spirit. And we know that from the teachings of the Vatican, the school must develop persons who are responsible, inner-directed, capable of choosing freely in conformity with their conscience. It is an institution where young people gradually learn to open themselves up to life as it is and to create in themselves a definite attitude to life as it should be. I think that's a very significant point. So as educators, we are therefore required to ask something of our students, which for many of them is difficult. To be fully alive in body, mind and spirit, to develop an attitude to life as it should be, requires that they are able to surrender their lives to the goodness of God. For many of our students in our schools, they have never heard of God when they visit our schools for the first time. Many of our schools have more than 50% enrolled students who are of no faith. Our bishop is very comfortable for us to enroll students whose parents want their children to experience what a Catholic school offers. We are not there to actually convert them necessarily, but they experience everything that the school has to offer, particularly the spiritual and religious life of the school. And for many of our students, this becomes the trigger in their lives for a journey of faith. And that's one of the gifts that, I guess, Catholic schools can offer today, when family catechesis, at least in Australia, is non-existent. Parents themselves will tell us they feel inadequate, incapable of passing on the faith tradition to their children. So they do put a large responsibility on Catholic schools. But as I said, for many parents, they just want their children in our schools because what they see is something good. They don't necessarily want their children to become Catholics. And certainly through the practice of Christian meditation, we've had absolutely nothing but wonderful feedback from parents of all persuasions. This is a wonderful thing for our children. And really, I guess the only judgment they make is, does my child like it? And for once, children are actually going home saying, Mum, Dad, I'm meditating at school. Mum, can you turn off the television because I want to meditate in quiet? Some parents then come to meditation themselves. It has been a very positive experience for families. But for our students, of course, they first have to come to know God on a personal level, not as some distant God. God is only accessible through a priest, through a teacher, through the Bible, or through whatever means that may be at their disposal. Through Christian meditation, we teach our students and we give them the experience of what John Mann explains as the way to purity of heart. So the meaning of life is to see God with absolute clarity. Meditation is the way to that clarity of vision. And the skill we have to learn is to see clearly, purely, what is here. God, I am, is here. And that's from John Mann's beautiful book, Door into Silence. And I'd certainly recommend, if you want to begin that journey of deepening your own understanding of Christian meditation, you could certainly do nothing worse than read some of John Mann's books along with Father Lawrence's beautiful books. Meditation helps us to attain purity of heart because it tames our egos. And such purity of heart is necessary for realising the ultimate purpose of Christian life. But what is that? It is the capacity to demonstrate the unconditional love of our neighbour. It's in the scriptures. It's what Jesus taught. And for this, we all have to overcome our own self-centeredness, which is played out through that untamed ego. And more, we find that our students exist in a very competitive dog-eat-dog world. Do you know that saying, dog-eat-dog? You know, I can't give you any of my time because I've got to keep it all for myself. I'm not interested in you because it's more important that I'm interested in me. I have to be, you know, concentrating on my path and my journey in life because I've got to be a success. So that's the sort of world that's been created for students. And it's not one that connects them to other human beings in that sense of love of neighbour. So to do this, we have to humbly open ourselves to God at a heart level, not only the intellectual and the head level. And certainly I think our Catholic schools do a wonderful job in teaching the faith tradition through our religious education programs. In primary school, all of our teachers are religious education teachers. And in secondary school, we have religious education teachers, and we also have catechists in our state schools. So meditation helps us surrender to that mystery, incomprehensible mystery, at the core of our life, and allows the liberating grace of God to be at work in and through each of us. And this year in Australia, we're celebrating the Year of Grace. Are you celebrating the Year of Grace here? It's sort of, we kind of began the Year of Grace, which flowed into the Year of Faith. And grace has become a very big concept, if you like, that we're trying to explore with our teachers and our students. And grace is freely available to all of us, of course, as we know. And through meditation, grace is what enters our hearts. Yes? Yes, okay. So it's 11. Back to the children. Okay, so at this time in Australian society, we know there's an increasing urgency to bring our students to the gospel vision of life, that we have to learn to love our neighbours, and to be able to do that, we have to understand our lack of capacity to do that without humbly submitting ourselves to the love of God and to the grace of God. And we know that our students have many competing challenges. There are many options for them. And they don't have to go along with anything we teach them necessarily, unless it's one of those things that's going to give them an accreditation or a qualification to get a job. So all of the other stuff, they might sit there and pretend that they're listening. They might even be very disruptive in class, as some of them can be. But we find that Christian meditation is one of the beautiful things where students want to engage. It hasn't been a chore. It hasn't been something that we had to work very, very hard to convince them that it's important. It is an astounding thing to see just how wonderfully students get it. They don't intellectualise it. They don't ask a million questions about it. They just want to do it. And this is, you know, it's a dazzling thing for us. But in the world today, the American Benedictine sister Joan Chittister reminds us that it's a very strange world. It's a world of dazzling technological and scientific achievement. And as a result, a world of increasing complexity and confusion. And the more we discover about the mechanics of life, it seems, the less we are certain of the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the essence of life. It is a world, in fact, made strange by our own making. Now, I don't know what college life is like. I've seen advertisements around the place. I've heard Western music. I'm hearing the same songs I'm hearing at home on the radio. So I'm assuming that much of life in Poland is very much like life in Australia. And, you know, our students are wonderful young people, but they're not just going to take anything we say simply because we're the adult or the teacher. They are, I wouldn't say they're discerning, but they're not easily switched on to things that they don't want to be switched on to. They're more easily switched on to things by their friends. You know, whatever my friend's doing, that's what I want to be doing. Unfortunately, with meditation, their friends are doing it. So, you know, it's one of those wonderful synchronicities that I think is working in our schools. The Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor says our times belong to the age of expressive individualism, where individual choice is seen as its own justification. I can choose it, it's there, I can do it. I don't have to make too many judgments about it. And of course, Western culture invites excitement, not silence, activity, not stillness. Students are therefore often overstimulated and restless. Is that your experience of students? They're restless, their minds are always active. Some of you may have the experience of your own children or students who take their iPhones or their phones to bed at night and they're Facebooking friends or texting until all hours of the night. It can be 2 o'clock in the morning and they're still texting their friends. They never switched off. But that's the sort of world that they've got. And in such a world, almost everything that students experience inhibits their journey inward towards stillness and silence. And in Australia, our secular worldview suggests that the solution to this restlessness lies outside of oneself, lies in the pursuit of bigger and more exciting things in life, lies in being very successful. And this way of living can create unhealthy pressure for young people if that's the only model of life that they have to base their experience on. And some will simply fall off. We know that many of our young adolescents suffer from serious depression. There is serious youth suicide in Australia. There are serious consequences from drug and alcohol abuse. There are serious consequences from early sexual exploration. It's a very difficult world that our young people exist in. So the contemplative way allows them, I think, to find that they're not alone, that God is within them. And we believe it's vital for Catholic education to respond to these social challenges by presenting and teaching the way that Jesus taught as the alternative to what's out there. And through Christian meditation, we wanted our teachers and our students to consider a new learning, a new imagination for society that locates the teaching of stillness and silence at the heart of education. It's not a little add-on, it's not a little extra thing that we do over here. And that's a very significant statement of position that we've taken in Townsville that other Catholic dioceses have not taken in Australia. We didn't see Christian meditation as, oh, okay, let's just slip that into the curriculum here, and they can do that for 3 weeks, and I'll learn a little bit about Christian meditation. Good, tick, that's done. No, no, no. Because that is not what it's about. And that would be almost, I think, criminal to give them that very limited understanding of Christian meditation. So we took the narrow path. We decided that we would do it systematically, that we would ask all of our teachers to become teachers of meditation, that we would ask them to find time in their busy days to work with their students, to allow their students time to meditate. I can only say it's been a magnificent success. And what we're trying to counter is what the Jesuit Pedro Arrupe calls the globalisation of superficiality, whereby trivialities become the touchstones of life, leading to a certain kind of indifferentism or apathy. We don't have students who necessarily hate religion or hate anything, but they can be very almost condescending, thoughtless about it, or non-thinking about it. It just doesn't enter their minds. So we wanted to make sure that there wasn't an apathy to the divine calling. We didn't want our students to be enslaved to their egos. We wanted to get them to understand how they can be compulsive, delusional, self-centered, and as a result of that, you can lose personal wholeness and the capacity to fully engage with life, to fully understand what it means, as Saint Irenaeus said, to be fully alive. And that's what God wants of us. Next one. We have some terrific bishops in Australia. We also have some pretty ordinary ones. Ours is a very good one. Another very good one is Bishop Greg O'Kelly, who is the head of the Australian Catholic Bishops Education Conference. And in one of his wonderful papers, he's a Jesuit. Interesting, we don't have any Benedictines here very much, so you need to get to Australia a bit more, but we've got a lot of good Jesuits. And Greg O'Kelly says, again, convincing his teachers in his diocese in South Australia of why it's important for them to see this as an obligation but a wonderful opportunity, a gift that they can give to their students. He says, in a world of massive and instant communications and distractions, it is possible never to go beneath the surface to those deeper places where our humanity registers. And unless there is a reflectiveness that is taught, our young people will never come home to themselves, and they miss the crucial place where God is encountered, the heart within. It's so easy for us to package everything, to package it like it's a mathematics curriculum, an English curriculum, a social studies curriculum, and we deliver it, and we mark our students on it, and it's all done, and that's a very important responsibility that we have as teachers. But the wonderful thing we have in Catholic schools is our capacity to do something extra special, to to work with the spiritual development of students. I have great friends who work in the state system in Australia, state education, and they can't even mention the word God in their schools. We're a very secular country, and people are very quick to jump on the government if people in our state schools are mentioning religion or doing anything that's too religious, apart from some of the catechists who come in. So it's a very interesting country, almost a very divided country. So we take our responsibility very seriously. So we've invested much time and effort and resources, including quite a lot of money, into our Christian meditation project. And we see this as a necessary and a wonderful investment in the God-giftedness within each of our beautiful young students. And they are great signs of hope for the future, which we know sometimes seems to present challenges of such scope and scale as to defy solution. And so we must give our students the very best we can, especially in terms of an alternative and life-giving understanding of themselves as images of God. And as adult mentors, role models, witnesses, we teachers know that they are inherently capable of great and unselfish love. But we have to help them tap into that. Next one, slide, John. Can you read that one out for me? I can't read Polish. Oh, these are some of the, I suppose, what we want to teach share with our teachers is it's not just something crackpot that suddenly we decided was a good thing to do in Townsville, or just because Father Lawrence turned up out of the blue, that suddenly we decided to do this thing. We've done a lot of research, and we've built into our formation programs a very solid foundation of the teachings in the church, and of course the support that comes from our clergy, especially Pope Benedict, our cardinal. So if you just move through those. Yes, the translators might like to read what's on the slides. So we have, these are quotes from Pope Benedict, from Cardinal George Pell, who is our Australian Cardinal, and from
po polsku, proszę. Ojciec John Lane odkrył dla naszego współczesnego świata pośpiesznie poszukiwań sensu i celu zapomnianą modlitewną tradycję medytacji chrześcijańskiej. Gorąco zachęcam nas do tej modlitwy, która otwiera serca na Ducha Świętego zamieszkującego w nas. Ten dar świętości i jedności w naszym wnętrzu musimy przekazać naszym uczniom i nauczycielom. Kardynał George Pell, arcybiskup Sydney.
And the next slide was from the presentation that the Archbishop of Canterbury gave to the Synod of Bishops in Rome last year. It's very interesting that it was the Anglican Archbishop who I guess strongly supported the whole practice of Christian meditation.
praktyce związek między kontemplacją i dziełem ewangelizacji może sugerować, że wszędzie tam, gdzie podejmowane są inicjatywy dotarcia do niepraktykującej części chrześcijańskiego lub podchrześcijańskiego społeczeństwa, trzeba się mocno zastanowić, jak wesprzeć nasze wyjście do świata ekumenicznie ugruntowaną praktyką kontemplacyjną. Oprócz powszechnie uznanego przykładu form liturgicznych wypracowanych przez wspólnotę TZ, grupy takie jak Światowa Wspólnota Medytacji Chrześcijańskiej ze swymi głębokimi korzeniami w tradycji benedyktyńskiej otwierają przed nami w tym względzie nowe możliwości. Co więcej, wspólnota ta włożyła wiele pracy w udostępnienie swych praktyk kontemplacyjnych dzieciom i młodzieży, przez co zasługuje na jak największe wsparcie. Obserwując w szkołach anglikańskich w Wielkiej Brytanii, z jak wielkim zapałem i zaangażowaniem dzieci reagują na zaproszenie do medytacji w tradycji tej wspólnoty, widzę w niej wielki potencjał do wprowadzenia młodych ludzi do głębiny naszej wiary. Z kolei dla tych, którzy oddalili się od regularnych praktyk sakramentalnych naszej religii, praktyki TZ lub UCCM są często szansą powrotu do sakramentalnego serca wiary. Jest to prawne przemówienie arcybiskupa Canterbury Juana Williamsa podczas synodu biskupów w Rzymie w zeszłym roku w obecności papieża Benedykta XVI, kardynałów i biskupów z całego świata.
And so these are, I guess, some of the important people in the church, but they're not necessarily our most competent teachers. But we have wonderful teachers through Father Lawrence, through the work of John Main, which is still available to us, and through our own Christian meditation communities in Australia and in Poland. You can also tap into your own local Christian meditation communities, and I know Andre will make you aware of those meditation groups before you go. And what we've done is, I guess, to just trust what God, I think, and the Spirit has wanted us to know, and that is that children can meditate, and that we simply just have to give them the opportunity to do that. And here we are today sharing our experience so that you too might put your trust in that whole spiritual experience and allow your students the opportunity to do that. We've shared our story with other teachers in England, in Ireland, in Indonesia, in the Philippines, and Singapore, and across Australia. We'll be going to the United States later in the year. So many, many teachers are wanting to listen and perhaps to try this. We know that in the United Kingdom, there are probably 150 schools where teachers are now teaching Christian meditation. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful prayer practice. It's prayer of the heart, pure prayer. And it speaks for itself when you see students meditating. So what was so compelling about what John Main taught? Well, he didn't say that meditation was the only way or that it replaced all other forms of prayer, but he believed it was central to the human journey and the religious vision of life. And his teaching allows us to see meditation as a way of love. And love holds the key to right understanding and right action. It is a vision of love completely lacking in sentimentality because the ego is not at the center, so it's not possessive and controlling. And it is the same love that Pope Benedict spoke about in his encyclical, the first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, God is love. And God wants us to experience love, and in this way to let the light of God into the world. And so to believe in God who is love and to have a heart to know God is to be liberated to respond more spontaneously, more naturally, more personally, more freely, more wholeheartedly to life. And this is having life to the full. So reflecting back to the beginnings of our Christian meditation journey, I want to share with you just some of the little obstacles that we contemplated and we avoided the rocks in the river, as they say. Now, at the time, Christian meditation as a prayer practice was quite foreign to many Australians. It was certainly foreign to our teachers. And some teachers were initially sceptical, especially when we say we want all teachers and all schools and all students to have the opportunity to experience Christian meditation, to become Christian meditators. You know, I'm sure you've been in rooms where you had somebody from the education office come out and say, by the way, I'd like you to do something, and you can almost see teachers' eyes roll in their head and say, oh, not another thing. But some teachers, I guess, were willing to jump on board straight away. And so we worked with those very enthusiastic teachers to start with. And it's important to make the connections for them, to share the story, as Father Lawrence has shared with us today. And so those connections are, you know, this Christian tradition values the skills of self-reflection and the context of solitude and silence. It's a valuable part of the tradition. Just because we haven't had the opportunity to experience it for centuries doesn't mean to say it hasn't been part of the tradition. It's been waiting there for us as a treasure to reclaim. And when we encounter God within, we get that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction that is part of that fullness of life. Meditation as an experience, we find with our students, can be very personal and immediate, but they also connect with their fellow students who are meditators. And that's exactly the same as meditators in the adult world. We were clear from the start with our vision that Christian meditation and a strong focus on the contemplative Christian foundation would bring rich opportunities that would assist our students in their personal identity formation as Christian persons, and that this approach is supported in tradition, in our Catholic catechism, and in Scripture in particular. Another potential obstacle was the expectation we placed on our teachers to do this, to find the time. Surprisingly, many teachers have told us what we already knew. The paradox is that even though it takes time, it creates time. So whether it's that students are calmer, more able to focus, teachers are spending less time giving them instructions, sit down, be quiet, get this ready, get that ready, that takes time that we don't often add up in minutes. Whether that's the case, but paradoxically it actually creates time. So really I think our teachers themselves now are the great teachers of other teachers. In our schools, it's our new teachers learn from our existing teachers. Our new teachers learn from our students who are already meditators. And it's become, if you like, a signature prayer practice in our diocese, but more importantly, it's become something that's normal. It's not a fad, it's not seen as something, oh, you're that diocese that does that meditation thing. It's normal in our schools that students learn Christian meditation. And we certainly emphasise that the faith education that we give our children introduces them to the full tradition of church, community, scripture and worship, as well as their personal spiritual experience. And Christian meditation as pure prayer, prayer of the heart, does have the potential to awaken a child not just to the story and name of Jesus, but to the mind of Christ. Father Lawrence speaking about the wheel, and at the centre is the idea of Christ, the mind of Christ. Now, we wouldn't go to that complexity with young children, but children are very easily able to say that in meditation, they are with Jesus, and Jesus is with them. They can say that quite openly. And I think that it really does emphasise that whole idea that children are born contemplative. It's not something that we have to fill them up with. It's simply something that we have to build on. They have spiritual competence. It is their natural endowment as a child of God. And it is our job to continue to nurture that in them. And of course, there are always some teachers who are a little harder to convince. But for many of our teachers, they become very interested in brain and mind research and the impact that meditation on all persuasions, not just Christian meditation, is having on health and well-being for people across the globe. And so for many of our teachers, that's their way into Christian meditation. It's not necessarily initially the spiritual path that takes them there. I can only pay great homage to our teachers. They have been very generous and enthusiastic. Their response is gratifying in many ways, because the introduction of Christian meditation was always for the children, but it's also for our teachers. Because we're a community of believers, a community of learners, a community of people who want to experience the spiritual dimension of life. And so we're quite happy to continue to fund teacher resource or teacher formation programs, to fund resources to help teachers put Christian meditation into practice in their classrooms. And really, our formation programs are one of the most wonderful things, and we have every year too many teachers applying for all of them, so we have to rotate teachers through. So they're, but again, they speak for themselves. I've had really good feedback from teachers. I think it's reinforced the sacred relationship between teachers and students. It's enriched their intellectual life because they suddenly wanted to explore the great Christian mystics, the Desert Fathers and Mothers. It's opened a new pathway into their Christian tradition that perhaps maybe they were unaware of before. So for teachers, there has also been a genuine sense of personal spiritual renewal. And there's a freshness in them for this practice of Christian meditation. But it also spills over into a freshness for scripture, because they bring themselves to a reading of scripture with a different mind, perhaps with the mind of Christ. So for Australia, I think this is a wonderful thing, because it's tapping into our Australian psyche at a time of great disconnect from institutional church, where many people have given up their faith, their practice of their faith, or they've taken a very long detour and they need something special to bring them back. This view is supported by Father Ronald Rollheiser. I think you've got that on there. He has he's put together 10 challenges for the world today about how people are prevented from accessing that great nourishment that allows them to experience their faith life very deeply. And two of those, which I've chosen here, I think are very pertinent, particularly for Australia. He sees the struggle with atheism, the atheism of our everyday consciousness. That is, the struggle to have a vital sense of God within a secular culture, which for good and for bad is the most powerful narcotic ever perpetrated on this planet. The struggle to be conscious of God outside of church and explicit religious activity. So if I'm not in a church, I don't even have to think about God. And his other challenge, the struggle for interiority and prayer inside a culture that in its thirst for information and distraction constitutes a virtual conspiracy against death and solitude. He sees it as the eclipse of silence in our world, the struggle to move our eyes beyond our digital screens towards a deeper horizon. But in Australia, we're not giving up on the spiritual life. We're constantly told we're a very secular country. We get all the statistics. Only 6% are regular mass goers. In the latest census, Catholics were still the highest proportion of religious people who name themselves as a religious denomination, at about, I think, 38%. But that's declining. But we are fighting back. And I think it's true that regardless of that institutional affiliation, Australians are still deeply spiritual people. And there's a book written by Professor Gary Gomer, who works at Monash University in Melbourne. It's called Australian Soul. And I thought this was a wonderful quote that reflects that very spiritual dimension of Australian people, that we can ignore and we can say, well, that's the church's job to get that back. Or we can say, people are yearning for something. And Christian meditation, I think, is one of the things that actually helps people to find their way to a deeper place, to get out of that distraction and noise, to actually stop and consider that God is with them. So he said, Australians are seeking wonderment, inner journeying, and simply being more deeply attentive to themselves and others. They are re-enchanting a world disenchanted by secular ideologies and materialism and corporate greed. Their experience and encounter with Christian meditation is providing a new vitality for our spiritual and religious lives. So we believe in our Catholic schools and towns that we are reaping a very rich harvest, having seen so many of our own students so confident and so easy in their own practice of Christian meditation. And so to conclude, I'd like to just quote the poet Ray Maria Rilke, who wrote, "The work of the eyes is done, now go and do hard work." And for teachers, I think it's a wonderful opportunity and it's a wonderful thing to be able to do hard work for your students. The hard work in schools requires real effort, planning, resourcing, supporting teachers and parents. And our hope is that by the end of today and tomorrow, you'll have a clearer picture of what we've done, how we've gone about helping teachers to do that. It hasn't been a hard journey for us, but it's been one that we've had to plan carefully, and it's been a real commitment. And we hope long after we're finished with Catholic education in Townsville that it will continue to be a great blessing for the students and teachers at our Catholic schools. And I hope that you have the opportunity to experience this great blessing yourself. If you're ever in Townsville, we would love to see you, to host you at our schools, and we wish you God's blessing in your great work as educators or catechists or parents, priests and religious, in working with young people, because they are the future, and we want them to be a future that's worth having, a future with God in it.
Thank you, Ben. Przed następnym wykładem muszę wstać, troszeczkę się rozluźnić, minutkę.